Perfect. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is October 1st, 2:04 p.m. Martin Heft, acting undersecretary at OPM, called the Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group to order. This meeting is being recorded, so please mute your phones if you are not speaking. And when you do speak, please identify yourself by name and agency. To go through the first part here, under just introductions, we just need to verify that we do have a quorum of our agencies. So I'm going to ask each agency to verify that either their primary representative or alternate, are here for attendance purposes and for voting. So OPM, Martin Heft, I am on the line. Department of Agriculture. I think we've got Steve Anderson is here, correct?
Yep.
Because I know the commissioner's not on, so we've got Steve here. Okay. Department of Public Health. We've got Steve Harkey, you're on until at least Lori gets on, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. DESP, I believe I saw Bob Kenny on.
I believe I'm on. This is Bob Kenny. I'm on, and I believe Doug Lowacki is also on.
Correct.
Yes, I'm also on.
Correct. Yep. But we're going to put Well, Bob, we're having you down as the voting person as of right now, representing DESP. So, and then an emergency management, and then for Deep and Pura, I believe we've got Doug Hoskins on.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Good afternoon, this is Maria Schur from Pura.
Yep, Maria, that's fine. Doug is the primary for this, for voting and attendance. Okay. Item three on our agenda is the approval of minutes from September 17th, which was our last meeting. If I could get a motion in a second so we can discuss those, that would be appropriate.
Move to approve.
Just identify yourself, please.
Steve Anderson from Agriculture.
Thank you, Steve. And is there a second? It needs to be one of the our voting members.
Doug Hoffman seconds.
Thank you, Doug. Are there any corrections to the minutes or additions? And Eric or Bruce, I don't know if you've gotten anything in for anyone submitted previously that we need to bring up.
I don't know if Bruce can speak yet. I have not received anything. I know one thing that will just be added is the link to the meeting recording. That was not included when it originally went out, but the recording is now posted, and that'll be part of the minutes as well.
Terrific. Okay. Hearing no other corrections, OPM, I vote yes. DOAG?
Yes.
Thank you. DPH? Steve, are you there?
Oh, sorry, I said yes. My mic was muted.
Oh, thank you. Des, Bob?
Yes.
Bob. And Deep, Doug?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda, item four, is update on regional water drought coordinators. I'll turn that over to Bob Kenny to give us an update on that, please.
Sure, Martin, thank you. This is Bob Kenny. Current numbers of, we have 154 water coordinators identified. Some of those are duplicates. It represents right now approximately 147 towns. And so we're just deconflicting the duplicates, meaning that there are two people at the towns identified as a primary and a backup. So that's where we are right now, and we continue to drill down on those.
Great.
I'll just add to Bob's report that the drought action team that's been assembled is working on formulating an outreach plan for those municipal water coordinators or drought coordinators. as we're calling them, and we have some a little more work to do, but trying to come up with a reporting template in terms of we're pretty sure how to get information to them. It's about getting reports back that we're working on and the type of information that we're looking to get back. So we'll continue working on that.
Terrific. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Eric, for those updates. Any questions or any other discussion regarding the regional water drought coordinators? Okay. Then we will move on to item five, moving right along here, halfway through our agenda, but I don't think it will go that quickly the rest of the way, is to discuss current condition and areas of improvement or degradation for each drought region. We do have a summary. Eric, can you pull those up?
Yeah.
And if you'd like to go over those, I know we've got some, you know, changes on that, and then we can go into some agency updates that might have a little bit additional information.
Sure. So I just pulled it up. Hopefully everyone can see. If I zoom in a little further, that's too much. Let's try this. All right. So you'll have to bear with us here because, as everyone knows, we moved this meeting ahead from October 8th to the 1st, which means that our month-end reports for some of our indicators we didn't have as of yesterday. They started trickling in. I prepared this table yesterday, but you'll see for a lot of these, they're the old data from the end of August or from the middle of September. So I know now, as of the date of, as of the time of this meeting, we do have at least preliminary reports for groundwater, stream flow, and reservoirs. So I'll let USGS and DPH take care of those reports. As to the other indicators, the soil moisture, the Palmer drought, the veggie dry, drought monitor and fire danger, we do have recent data as of last week or this week that has been reported here. And you'll see some degradation with those indicators. We've experienced, as you know, up until the beginning of the week. Of course, most of these dates are from before this week's rain. We had been quite dry, and our soil moisture, our fire danger had been high. But of course, you know, with that indicator being so flashy, as of yesterday after the rain, it went back down to low. In fact, I need to check what today's is so I can get that updated. I'll do that momentarily.
Eric, I just checked. This is Doug Hoskins. I just checked. It's moderate.
Okay, so it's already back to the stage two level after one day after precipitation, and we kind of expected that because much of the state did not get enough of a soaking rain to really keep things wet. So, you know, if Helene is on, she can probably comment further from forestry, but that indicator, as flashy as it is, will probably go right back to being high in a short period of time. Drought monitor, we did see some further degradation, basically east to west. It's sort of a wave of colors coming across the state for those who haven't seen it yet. With each passing week, the oranges and reds keep migrating from east to west, and so now a big chunk of northern and eastern Connecticut is solidly within the D3 or severe drought. A big chunk of central Connecticut is solidly within the D2. And then as you get down into Fairfield County, it drops down to abnormally dry or D0. So that's where we are there. And I'll leave it to the other folks on the call to talk about our long-term indicators for reservoir stream flow, groundwater, and precipitation.
Okay. Doug Locke, do you want to start?
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
I'm taking a look at the long-range modeling for the next 2 weeks, and I'll cover the seven-day first. You guys had requested provide a seven-day, and in the seven-day, from 8 a.m. this morning through 8 a.m. next Thursday morning, we're expecting about half an inch of rain. across the state. And that's going to be below normal. It's a very flashy type of rain because we have a low pressure center that's going to be moving south of us. I believe that's over the weekend, and it might kick back a little bit of rain into southeastern Connecticut. And so eastern Connecticut looks like it would get the half inch, western Connecticut about a quarter of an inch. And then in the 7-day time period after that, if we go out to a full 2 weeks, we're looking at, let me just reset that. P total, 14 days. Here we go. We're not looking at any additional rain in the second week at all. It's completely dry. So it's a well below normal forecast for the next 2 weeks. There is some tropical activity out there, but most of it appears that it's going to be pinned down in the Gulf of Mexico and will not run up the East Coast. It'll go across Florida eventually and then out to our south and east over the next 2 weeks. That's the that's how the current GFS modeling is looking at it. So, again, to wrap up, looks like well below normal rainfall for the next 2 weeks. It looks like we've had all the significant rain we're going to have yesterday. So that's the forecast at this time.
Thank you, Doug. Nicole?
Yes, I have a few slides that I could share. Actually, open share tray here real quick.
And just to clarify, Nicole, just say what entity you're with.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Nicole Belk with the National Weather Service, Boston Norton. Okay, I'm going to share screen one. We'll switch this over. There we go. Okay. So what we have here is a map of the rainfall from this most recent soaking rain for far western Mass and Connecticut, September 29th to 30th. The big winners here were, again, you know, Fairfield County's done pretty well, 1 to over 2 inches of rain into a bit of New Haven County, but in particular Litchfield County, where we had 1.5 to 3 inches of rain. I have the next slide that has the Albany analysis with Litchfield County. So in the central part of the state, we're looking at mainly 1 to 2 inches of rain, but more generally closer to one. You can see there are a couple spots that were below an inch. And then in eastern Connecticut, where we really needed the rain the most, that's where things really dropped off. Have some reports, we managed to get some locally higher totals, but by far and large, it was under an inch with this particular rain event. This next image is a map for the National Weather Service, Albany, New York. County warning area, which includes Litchfield County. So I included this because it has a higher resolution map of Litchfield County. So in here, 1.5 to 2 in the eastern and southern portions of the county. And then you're looking at 2 to 3 inches across the interior part of Litchfield County. So now taking a look at the AHAPS maps, it did a pretty good job of depicting the rainfall for the month for the state. The exception was in particular Litchfield County, where it was a little bit underdone. However, for the rest of the state, in particular the eastern counties, it's pretty close. So the eastern part of the state, as we would expect, since they got less rainfall with this most recent event, looking at rainfall mainly between 1 and 2 inches, with some pockets where we may have seen some rain that was under an inch, and maybe some higher spots. But mostly the eastern half of the state, rainfall was pretty low and largely reliant on the rainfall at the very end of the month and rainfall at the very beginning of the month. And then as you get into Harford County, we had some places that were under 2 inches and some places that were a bit over. Same for Middlesex County. And then as you go further west into New Haven, Litchfield, and Fairfield counties, the rainfall totals were more robust, looking at 2 to 4. And I believe there were some pockets that were above 4 and a little bit of portions of Litchfield and Fairfield counties for the month total. So now looking at departure from normal for the month, and again, central or the eastern half of the state, kind of the worst off here, to purchase from normal 2 to 3 inches for the month. And that goes into Hartford and part of Middlesex County as well. And then it's more 1 to 2 inches into New Haven and possibly into Litchfield County and Fairfield County. And then there's some places, pockets, where it's closer to normal, but not really a substantial amount. This is the percent of normal. So the brackets here are 25 to 50% in the deeper shade of brown. And then the lighter beige is 50 to 75% of normal. So really looking at this map as a whole, seeing that most of the majority of the state, the rainfall was 75% of normal or less, with it less than 50% of normal for Hartford County, or portions of Hartford County and Middlesex counties, and then, Tall and Wyndham, New London. And then we're looking at 50 to 75% of normal overall in that the western portion of the state. So now, just to the outlook, and I'll just mention the temperatures for the next week, to go with the forecast that's provided on the rainfall. We are expecting temperatures today to be above normal, but then with highs in the low to mid-70s. But then looking at the forecast through next Wednesday, overall we're looking at near normal temperatures. And normal lows are upper 40s to low 50s, and normal highs are in the mid to upper 60s for this time of year. And then the 8 to 14 day outlook from the Climate Prediction Center, and this goes with Doug's forecast looking further out too, precipitation, odds favor below normal, temperatures returning to above normal potentially. So we'll see, so we'll have that normal stretch and then temperatures will nudge upward again. And here's the week 3 to 4 outlook. This goes out through October 23rd. It's interesting, this time we actually managed to get into the below normal rainfall forecast with temperatures averaging above normal. So, it's right now not seeing a major rain event. Obviously, 3 to 4 weeks that things can change, but it looks like for the entire CONUS for the U.S. and above normal temperatures. So we get a warm pattern coming ahead. And here's the 3-month outlook for October through December. The left is the precipitation. The white is equal chances. But on the right, we have a likelihood of above normal temperatures or averaging over the period. And that is my last slide. So I will stop sharing here.
So, all Nicole, right. Just a quick question.
Sure.
Did much of the state receive close to zero precipitation for the month of September, with the exception of, minus the storm from yesterday? I'm just curious, trying to think back to the last rain events. If yesterday's storm didn't the day before yesterday's storm now didn't happen, what would the totals have looked like? I'm just curious.
Hold on, because I can pull that up. I can at least get us in the ballpark. Hold on, I'll reshare once I have this loaded. So we'll go through the 26th. There we go. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share again here. There we go. Yeah. All right. So what I did was I just pulled up the COCORAS map, and I ran it from September 1st to September 26th. So it's completely excluding that recent rain event that occurred on the 29th and 30th. So this is where we are. It looks like under an inch. You get some pockets above an inch up and through here, but it looks like the northern half of the state by far and large was under an inch of rain, with a few exceptions up there in the north central Hartford County. And then Fairfield, 1 to 2 inches. Same, it looks like generally for New Haven, that is a little higher spot there. Generally around an inch in Middlesex County and around an inch and a quarter in New London. So I think that the rain at the end of the event, if we didn't have that, it would have been an even worse situation. But yeah, that's kind of where we would have been if we had not had that soaking rain.
Okay.
Great. Any other questions for Nicole? Okay.
Martin, you accidentally muted yourself.
You're right, I did. Sorry, thank you. I'm trying to be good and not have the mute on, as I instructed everybody and messed that up. John Mullaney?
Yep, I'm here. I can probably share quick.
Just identify yourself for us.
Okay, John Mullaney from U.S. Geological Survey, New England Water Science Center.
Thanks.
I'm going to share here. I'll try to share. Okay, I was able to this morning pull our data through the end of September, so that's why I waited till first thing this morning, because I was able to actually get all the days of the stream flow, although I don't think yesterday's rain was enough to make too much of a dent in any change in the statistics for stream flow. I was just going to jump up really quick here to you know, the rainfall that we got has pushed up some of the stream flows temporarily up into the normal range, you know, with the exception of, as like Nicole was saying, towards the much less rainfall towards the east. So we're sort of up there. The flows are up, but these are, you know, it's just kind of a temporary rise that should disappear in a couple of days. Tim, while I've got this up, maybe you should mention what you were saying about our new lows for the month.
Sure. This is Tim Sargent with the U.S. Geological Survey, New England Water Science Center. I just messaged to John. We have 8 surface water stations that have a new monthly low for sites that have 30 or more years of record for August. I imagine September will be out soon as well, and we'll probably have even more than 8 for September.
Anyway, just to get back into, I have a really quick summary here. You know, when we look at our groundwater, I actually added our number of sites where we have below normal conditions for 4 or more consecutive months. So I've come up with a count of those, and the number of wells where we had 2 or more consecutive months. So basically, these are close to equivalent to the stage 2 and the stage 3 in our drought, in the state drought plan. So just to show you some of our sites here, the one thing of note here is looking at wells in the Windham County, where we have, you know, the majority of them in kind of the stage 3 category. And Litchfield County is about, you know, basically they're the same, meaning that the wells that are, you know, have 2 months also have 4, you know, it's actually 4 months, we're 4 months or more. So just to show you those for the any possible changes you might consider here. But when we get to the stream flow for the same sort of a graph here, I think we're showing Hartford County with a large percentage of our gauges in the stage 3 category. You know, Litchfield is kind of up there as well. You know, we maybe have, you know, we have New Haven in the stage 2 and Middlesex County, which I think would be changes from what we currently have, if there's other metrics that also would move in that direction. So I hope that's helpful. If there's any other questions, let me know. I think I do have my map. Let me see if I can share my map of what that looks like for stream flow. So this kind of shows you where those gauges are, with four or more months below normal. So anyway, I'll stop sharing. If I can, there we go.
This is Doug Hoskins from Deep for Eric and John, I guess. Has this data been incorporated into the table that Eric showed first off? I don't think so, right?
No, I don't believe it is. I think it's showing last month. So I just sent this to Eric this morning. I had to wait till I got the 30th. The daily values for the 30th for stream flow really were being processed overnight. So
okay.
They should be included in the stats. I'll run it again in a day or so just to make sure. But it shouldn't change things much one way or the other with the one day, with So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions for John? Thank you on that, John. Okay. Is there any other agencies on that need to give an update?
Did you want to get an update on reservoirs at all? Is this the RTDPH?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just going to share my screen. Hopefully you can see it. One of the big numbers is we're about 67% full, and we are at 83.5% of normal across the state. Here are the percentages of normal broken down by county. Hartford is at just about 75% of what they would normally have at this time of year. I think Fairfield would end up being a little bit lower because Bethel Water Department is at 98% of normal, and they generally don't use their reservoirs that much. So their demand is almost nothing. So it's, you know, whatever is not in there now was just from evaporation. So, but if you look at the numbers for Fairfield, you're probably in, you know, the 50s to 60 range for percent of normal average. I wanted to show, these are your percents of normal broken up into the different pieces and parts. So, you know, the 90 to 99% of normal majority, you know, you have 14 systems, but below that you have a significant number of systems. Going all the way down, which is this, the 30 to 39% of normal, that is Southington. But we've also have another system that's in the 50, 59% of normal, and then 60, 69% of normal. And I just did this graph because in a normal year, you would see them all over in this side. And as the numbers move and shift over to the right, that means that we're having stressors, you know, less capacity than you would normally have at this time of year. So as we see the graph moving over to the right, it begins to show that we're getting a little worse over time. So just another way of depicting that. And then I wanted to show you this map, which is our conservation measures. So you'll see that recently the Guilford Shoreline System, which is this one, this is a Connecticut water system. So they're asking for voluntary 10% water reduction, and they moved into their first drought stage, which is a drought advisory. This is the New London system, which just recently moved into a drought advisory as well, and they're asking for voluntary 10% reduction. And I believe this is the Stafford system, Connecticut Water Company, and they are asking for 10% reduction. This is new as of last week. So the rest of them we should already know about. This is all the ones in Fairfield County from the Greenwich system, Stanford system. This is the Norwalk systems that are asking for mandatory. This all right now in this area is all mandatory reduction. This is Southington system is mandatory. I believe this is the Bristol system, which is also mandatory reduction, 2-day-a-week watering, or odd-even watering, actually. And then this one is the New Britain system, which they just, I think, 2 weeks ago went into their first drought stage, and they're asking for voluntary restrictions. So if anyone has any questions, I will take them.
Good afternoon, this is Maria again. I have a question regarding a client's Greenwich system. Do you have any updates from them?
So we were on a call last Friday, I believe it was, and if they hadn't received any rain, I think that they received a pretty good portion of the rain that came through over the last few days. But if they hadn't received anything in the next couple of weeks, they were thinking about moving into their third drought stage, which would require mandatory restrictions instead of the two-day-a-week watering. They are also actively with the towns doing a lot of outreach to the community to get people to buy into, you know, reducing their water, especially asking. Several of the towns have put out messages asking for them to close down any irrigation systems, especially Greenwich. Greenwich demands have been significant since the spring, and hopefully if we can get the message out down there, we can move some, you know, significant conservation and reduce their demands. That's their biggest problem right now is demands.
Steve, I keep forgetting Southington's situation. They're the system that has an interesting mix between reservoir and groundwater, if I recall.
Right.
Okay, so because I noticed on the chart their reservoir level, their percent full is only at 18% now.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, that we're sort of in the dark as in terms of where their strategy lies, because, I mean, I don't know if they've been doing – is there any way to know how much groundwater pumping they've been doing compared to surface water? And it seems to be – it's just kind of alarming when you look at that number.
Yeah, my last communication with them probably a couple of weeks ago, because I try to reach out to them because, you know, I'm as concerned as you are, because when I do see that number, it is alarming. But – they generally don't use their surface water and they use mostly groundwater at this point. You know, obviously they can't really do too much with their surface water because it is going down. They are relying almost exclusively on their groundwater. I believe they're going to rely on an interconnection with, I want to say Connecticut Water Company, but it might be Regional Water, but they're relying on that interconnection. If they go into some kind of issue, they, you know, their triggers are a strange trigger. So they did trigger a drought stage earlier in the summer, but then that trigger went away, and it has to do with demands, not supply. But according to them, they have sufficient supply, and their emergency operations is going to rely on an interconnection with another water company. Fortunately, the other water company has some good water available. But, you know, they are asking for conservation across the town. They've been getting the message out to make sure people are aware of it. I mean, I'll have to maybe do an analysis on their demands as far as what the demands have been, because we do get that. But it's a strange situation. They tell me they're on top of it, so I have to believe them, you know. So does that answer your question, Eric?
It does. Thanks, Steve.
Hi, this is Doug Hoskins. Just an addendum to that. And I may have mentioned this in previous meetings, but they are looking at some development, further development at one of their well fields, to increase capacity. So they have been talking to us about that vis-a-vis the diversion program.
I think that they have to, because their reservoirs are not sufficient enough to do what they need to do.
Yeah, and definitely they do have that interconnection with Regional Water, which will come in handy.
Yeah.
I think it's this one right there.
Anything else?
Anyone else have any questions? Okay, terrific. Any other agencies have any other updates they need to bring to us?
Yeah, just Doug Hoskins from DEEP. Yep. Not much really from us. I don't think Helene is here from our forestry fire crew, but like I said, I just checked our website and it's been elevated to moderate as of today. Unless she snuck in, we'll have to suffice with that for fire danger. And anecdotally on the water diversion front, Really haven't been hearing much coming in as far as, for instance, unauthorized withdrawals or dry stream observations, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing as far as that goes, but we really haven't been hearing much, just a couple of unauthorized, potentially unauthorized withdrawals from streams for irrigation, one of which was on a stocked stream, so that was of concern to us, and we're seeing if it can be handled at the local level at this point. And I do believe that Bill Foreman from Fisheries might have a little bit to say about West Branch.
Yep. As far as the West Branch farm is in the river.
Just identify yourself, Bill, for the record.
Oh. Yep, sorry. Bill Foreman, Deep Fisheries. Since the end of August, we've been augmenting flows on the West Branch Farmington River. That happened at the same time that MDC terminated their releases to the Farming and River Power Company, which dropped flows down to around the 50 CFS minimum. So far, we've been working with MDC to maintain flows at least at sufficient level to maintain proper temperatures for trout and other cold water species, even down below the Collinsville Dam. And right now we've used up about 19% of our 3.2 billion gallons of water. So if this all, we will have to keep adjusting that to conserve water, because unless, if this drought continues for a very long time and then sometime next year, both MDC and us could run out of water.
Bill, this is Eric. What about fall stocking impacts? You guys are not stocking rivers and streams at this point, right?
We did stock part of the Farmington because of temperature, again, because we've been trying to maintain flow. So we did stock part of the Farmington there. And for the most part, we've shifted our stocking now to lakes and ponds. And again, we checked the rivers. We might be able to stock a little bit more now after the rain we got, depending what the flows do over the next few days. But for now, we're shifting some of it. And we did postpone like an Atlantic salmon stocking in Naugatuck River because we were hoping for flows to increase a little bit. And with the flows comes temperatures, which is more important sometimes than the actual amount of water.
Right.
Okay. Great. Any other questions? Any other agencies have any updates?
I didn't know if Ryan wanted to talk about the private wells and any information he had with the private well program.
Sure, I can add some information. We've been collecting the number of permits reported by local health departments since July 3rd. And not all health departments are reporting, but in the last couple of weeks, we've had additional health departments provide data to us. And for the most current week to date, there have been 65 permits pulled for private wells potentially impacted by drought. That's either deepening or hydrofracking private wells.
And just to add to that, Ryan, I think we had a conversation earlier this week, and we believe now that the impacts are probably much greater than what we're seeing just through the permitting process in terms of people pulling permits, because we now have reports coming in from various areas in the state where residents' wells are running dry. With now, town leaders in some cases getting concerned and looking for information. So these are the type of ancillary data that we're hoping to rely on even more in the future once we get the drought coordinators sort of kicked into gear. We also, I know Steve Anderson from Agriculture is on, but more sort of ancillary data. has got a report, at least one report, actually a couple reports from farms, dairy farms in eastern Connecticut that have basically run completely dry. They, for those who don't know, dairy farms require a lot of water. So they're struggling to get water trucked in to the farm so that they're, you know, able to, the cows are able to have water and they have, they're able to continue their operations. So, just throwing those reports out there as we received them this week. And those were primarily in the eastern part of the state.
Thank you, Eric, for that. I was going to ask you to do an update on that, so appreciate it. Is there anyone else before we move on to our next step? Or any other information that we need for considering before we go on to six, which is, you know, our recommended course of action, looking at each of the counties and seeing if there should be any changes. So I want to make sure that if anyone's got any other additional information that we should know about prior to doing that, please speak up now so we make sure we've got it all. Okay, and what I'm going to do is move us on to item six on the agenda, which is a recommended course action to either maintain or modify the drought stages in each of the counties. What I'd like to do is go through each of the counties individually, look at it to see if there is a motion to change that individual county from the level that it's at now to another level. We're going to look at these individually by county rather than doing anything as a whole, you know, of multi-county. So that way we can just address that. And we'll go through, I'll ask, you know, on each county, if there is a motion, you know, to change that or not. Obviously, if there's no motion, then it will keep at that current level. And then the voting will be done by the five agencies and the representatives that we identified earlier. Excuse me. So first, we'll start off on the easier ones. Fairfield is currently at a stage one. You know, below normal conditions, and don't know if anyone has any concerns or recommendations to elevate Fairfield at all based on the information that we have received.
Hey, Martin, should we have Eric put the table back up?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Yep. Good point, Steve. Let me get that back up.
Okay. Do you want to, that's the two, Eric, do you want to put, yeah, I guess for Fairfield, we have to look at two, right? Correct. So we'll do that one first because that's correct. So that's where we are for stage two. Fairfield is at a stage one currently. Looking at indicators, is there any recommendation of moving Fairfield to stage two?
And folks, just please keep in mind that this table is not fully accurate because we did receive just now on the call the updated reports from National Weather Service, from USGS, and from DPH on reservoirs, groundwater, stream flow that are not reflected in this chart. So try to bear in mind what we learned on the call versus what's here, and I apologize that it couldn't be assembled in time to get it in front of you in one package for this meeting, but just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Eric. Hearing no motion or change for Fairfield, we'll move on to New Haven County, which is also at a stage one. That's why I took the easy ones first here, everybody.
this is John Mulaney. I'm not a voting member, so I won't make a recommendation, but I will give you a reminder that our stream flow about 86% of our stream gauges were in the stage two category.
Okay, thank you. Okay, hearing nothing on that, move on to Middlesex.
Middlesex is currently stage one.
Correct. It's our last county that is at a stage one is Middlesex. We have seen some triggers that have, you know, elevated there as it's closer over, you know, to the new London County area and everything. We have seen some triggers there.
Yeah, I'll bring a reminder on Middlesex as well. We had about 57% of our groundwater sites and 75% of our stream gauges in that stage two category.
Yeah. Thank you. And if I recall correctly, looking through some stuff, we're probably Middlesex, probably about half the county is probably a little worse than the rest of that county. Is that pretty accurate, Eric or Bruce?
Yeah, I still don't know if Bruce, are you just so we know, are you able to talk or not? Are you having microphone issues? Okay, I don't think Bruce can actually, and if you can hear Bruce, if you're actually on the call, maybe you can use the chat window if your mic doesn't work. But I do think Middlesex, enough of Middlesex County gets into the trigger category for our stage two indicators where perhaps we should consider moving Middlesex into the stage two. Throw that out there.
Yeah. And Bruce is on, but his microphone's not working. So
I think we'd be in agreement with that. Just based on the information from USGS that we've gotten in that adds to what's on here. So this is Steve Anderson from Ag.
Okay, Steve, do you want to make that as a motion?
Sure.
Move Middlesex to stage two?
Yep.
Okay.
Move them to stage two. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second? So that way we can discuss fully.
So this is Steve Harkey, DPH. I second that.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. So just that way we've got it on the floor to discuss. Any other additional comments or items on Middlesex for moving it to a stage two? I would be, you know, for OPM side, I would be in agreement with that. You know, before we do a kind of a roll call vote. So does anyone have any other questions or concerns they want to bring up before we do a vote? Okay, then I will call for a vote. OPM is yes. DOAG?
DOAG is yes.
Thank you. DPH?
Yes.
DESP?
Yes.
And Deep Pura?
Yes.
Okay. Then that is, we will recommend moving Middlesex up to a stage two. Okay, we'll move on then to Litchfield, which is currently at a stage two. So, Eric, can you switch to the stage three trigger chart?
Sure.
And then just that same reminder that, you know, obviously some of these items have not been fully updated, but obviously based upon the information that we've received today. For that. So this whole next series of them, of the next five counties, will be, you know, looking at, do we move them from stage two to stage three, which stage three is our moderate drought stage. You know, we're moving it from advisory. So first off is Litchfield. you know, from reports I've seen and everything, I don't see a need to move it from stage two from where we're at, but.
Yeah, this is Steve Harkey with DPH. I would concur with that. I don't see a reason to move them further than where they are.
Any other thoughts on that? Anyone have any difference of opinion?
No, it's just John Mullaney at USGS one more time. It looks like we have about 50% of our sites, both groundwater and surface water, in the stage three in Litchfield County, but it's a fairly small number of sites. So, you know, 50% is, you know, 2 of 4.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. Let us move on and look at Hartford County.
So I wanted to update you on, this is Steve Harkey, DPH. Hartford County percent of normal for all the reservoirs is just under 75%.
Yeah, and we've got, for USGS, we had almost 73% of our stream gauges in the stage three category, and let's see, that's still only at about 33% for the groundwater.
You know, I mean, Hartford, you know, looking at information received would be a consideration for moving up to stage three. Not sure if there's other thoughts on it.
So this is Steve Harkey at DPH. I actually would concur with that. We should definitely talk about whether we want to do that or not.
Okay, so let's do this. I'll make a motion to move Hartford to a stage three. Steve, would you second that?
I second that.
Okay, so let's discussion on that. Other thoughts or concurrences? So we can, you know, before we take a vote. Okay. OPM is a yes. Agriculture?
Yes.
Public health?
Yes.
DESP?
DESP is yes.
Okay, and Deep Purpura?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then that is recommended to go to stage three. So let's move on to Tolland County. Also, as mentioned, is a stage two. We are in a similar situation. I think for the next few are going to be similar situations of the reports that we've received and everything. For that, and to get the ball started, I would make a recommendation that we'd move Tolland to a stage three.
Deep seconds.
Thank you. There, discussion, comments?
No, only this is just John Mullaney, USGS again. We don't have any of our wells or stream gauges in stage three in Tolland County, which isn't that many. I mean, it's, we're looking at three stream flow gauges, and well, we do have 12 wells, so none of them are in the stage three category.
Yeah, this is Steve Harkey. So for Tolland, there's only one system, and that's the Stafford system for Connecticut Water Company, and it's at 84% of normal. And they just declared their first drought stage, so just so you're aware.
Thank you for that. Any other discussion or comments before a vote?
I believe that Stafford system, this is Doug, sorry, Deep. It's pretty flashy and not really indicative of rainfall, runoff, et cetera. Steve, does that sound right?
I've always Like so far this summer, it's been actually holding pretty steady. I think they kind of keep control of their demands, and I'm trying to think of the number of the population. It might be like 700. So, you know, it may be flashy, but it didn't seem flashy throughout the summer. It seemed fairly steady decline, nothing real dramatic. But I'm not 100% aware of everything about the Stafford system.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments?
So it's Steve Anderson from Ag. Does it meet the criteria? And given what John Mullaney had said, I mean, does it meet our criteria?
Eric, you want to touch base on that?
So it looks as though, and once again, I have to apologize that we don't have it all tidy in our chart, which actually I'm just now trying to get things updated. Not that it's going to help us because we'll be done by the time I do, but it looks as though, from what I can tell, that Tolland would meet the precipitation trigger. That it would meet the Palmer drought trigger, the crop moisture trigger, the borderline on the veg dry. Doesn't meet fire danger. Once again, that's that's probably of all the indicators the one we would probably look at last, just because of how dependent it is on other conditions. And drought monitor does meet the criteria in terms of what other federal professionals have it listed as. It looks like it does not meet the long-term groundwater and stream flow triggers for stage three, nor does it meet reservoirs. But keep in mind, you know, you got to keep every region has its nuances. Keep in mind there's only one system, as Steve Harkey mentioned. So, you know, I don't know how much you want to put into the reservoirs criteria, but certainly there for precipitation and for the soil moisture and vegetation indicators, probably will be there again soon for fire. We aren't yet, but based on the forecast, probably will. And U.S. drought monitor looks like we're there.
Yeah, and the U.S. drought monitor is D2 and D3. So just to update that.
Right. Yep. Thanks.
Yeah.
And just one more time. How close are we on groundwater and stream flow?
Sorry about that, John Mullaney. Once again. Well, what I have for Tolland is, I mean, we only have three stream gauges, which are probably in the Shetucket Basin, which has seemed to be lagging a month or two behind everything else since we've been doing this. So we don't have any gauges of the three in this stage three category. If we look at groundwater, we do have 12 wells, mostly around the Yukon area. And we have only two of those wells that are in the stage two and zero in the stage three. So there's not, you know, we're not really meeting it on the groundwater.
Yeah.
Even for stage two.
Yeah. So this is Steve Harkey, DPH again. Just wanted to update, because when John said Yukon, I remembered that. So Yukon main campus is in that area, and it is in their third drought stage. And they do a lot of the triggers or how they kind of operate the system based on some of the rivers that are in that area. And so if they're in this third stage, it indicates that the rivers in that area are low.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'd have to check where the gauges are, you know, whether you're at the boundary of Tolland. I'd have to look at which ones are in there. But anyway, it looks like the groundwater levels are at least holding. Most of those are on the Yukon like a bunch of those are on the Yukon farm. That's not too far from the.
I'll just make a note that.
Go ahead, Eric. Yep.
I'm sorry. I just administrative note that it looks like Lori Matthew has joined from DPH, so I believe she'll probably take over as the voting member for DPH.
Yes, I have appeared. Thank you. Sorry, I'm late.
Welcome, Lori. Not sure when you joined. Obviously, we're considering Tallinn County of moving that to. Stage three, we have a motion and we're in discussion on that.
Okay, thank you.
So is there any other discussion comments before we do a vote?
Yeah, Doug Hoskins, just looking at the forecast for the next few weeks until we meet again, or possibly meet again, being so droughty. You know, just want to throw that out there. Is it's not a indicator level, but criteria, I should say, for drought stage, but we should also think of that.
No, that is good. And I think it's also remember that all of these are, you know, kind of, as we look at these, we have, you know, the nine trigger pieces here, and it's kind of everybody's interpretation of all of those as well is to give us the guidance and along with our groups that are on here, giving us information to be able to make, you know, the best informed decision of where we are as we've looked at other maps, everything else. It seems, you know, definitely Eastern Connecticut is, you know, getting hit harder than, you know, Fairfield, Litchfield area and everything else, even though there are concerns there. We're getting, you know, definitely seeing it more, especially with Rhode Island, everything else that's encroaching farther into Connecticut. So, okay, so what we have?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Lori. Yeah.
So you said just Tallinn County?
We're doing each county separately.
Separately, okay.
Yeah, so we have voted to move Hartford County to a stage three. Middlesex to a stage two, Fairfield, New Haven, Litchfield, there's no change. So we're at Tallinn now, and then we have Windham and New London left to discuss.
So just in general, another question. So we moved to stage three, because people have asked me this. And I think we should think about this. It's like, so what that you move to stage two? What does that mean to the general public? You know, what are you guys doing differently? How are you going to change what's happening? You know, so I think that we have to think about that in the context of what's happening here. Stage three, there's, you know, the actions are, I remember Eric showing the stage three actions. There's quite a few additional actions we have to take. So I think when we, you know, whatever we vote on, I think we have to be more than prepared to take, you know, more definitive actions and be prepared to say what we're doing. I'm fine with Tallinn going to stage three.
Yep, and Lori, those are actually, that's our next part of the agenda right after this is, you know, what we have to do with moving the things to three. As everyone will, you know, just to recall, when we put a lot of the counties to stage two, we took some of the recommendations from stage three, you know, the voluntary items, and, you know, made mention of them in stage two, even though they were truly stage three items. For that, so we do need to talk about that as how do we, you know, enhance that? What is our message going out, moving these to stage three? So that is definitely the next step in this, but definitely part of the whole consideration of everything as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on that before we vote on Tallinn? Okay. OPM is yes. DOAG?
DOAG is a yes.
DPH?
Yes.
Desp?
Desp is yes.
And Deep?
Yes, for Deep.
Okay. Thank you. So that is recommended to move Tallinn to a stage three. Next, we'll move on to Windham County. Information, and obviously same process. If it has a recommendation, if we want to move that to stage three to make a motion, and then we would discuss.
I'll make the motion. Steve Anderson from DOAG.
Thank you. Is there a second for discussion purposes? We can.
I'll second that, Martin.
Thank you, Lori. Okay, it's moved seconded to move Windham to stage three. So now we're open for discussion comments. I think some of the situations are the same as Tallinn, as we're going to find as we get to New London as well. But what comments or concerns or thoughts anyone has for moving Windham?
I would agree with moving Windham. It's very similar to the others.
That would be my inclination as well. Is there any other questions or anyone have any other items they want to raise before we vote on that?
This is Eric from DPH, and this is more for Lori's benefit. Because she joined late, but I'll just reiterate once again, really for Lori, that the chart that's on the screen that I'm sharing, if you can see it, Lori, is only partially complete because we did not have some of our month-end data did not come into OPM until either just now at the meeting or right before the meeting. So you actually missed out on the presentations, Lori, from USGS and National Weather Service, and actually Steve Harkey covered DPH, but you already know what the deal is there. So just be aware that this chart does not reflect the latest readings for each indicator. It does reflect the latest for Palmer drought, crop moisture, and veggie dry. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Doug from Deep. I think if we're sending Hartford and Tallinn to three, we would be hard pressed not to send Windham geographically.
Right. I would agree with that as well, as we've looked at, you know, way things have been happening across Connecticut. Any other discussion before we vote? Okay. OPM is a yes. DOAG?
DOAG is a yes.
Thank you. DPH?
Yes.
Thank you. DESP?
DESP is a yes.
And DEEP?
DEEP, yes.
Thank you. We'll wind them to a stage three. And our last county, New London, which was the last one coming on as a stage two. Consideration for moving that to a stage three or leaving it the same. There's a motion for anything, and then we can discuss.
Deep makes a motion to send New London to stage three.
Thank you. Is there a second so we can discuss? I'll second it just so we can get discussion on it. Okay, so we have it's been moved seconded for New London to move to stage three. Discussion? Okay, no, any discussion? Ask again just to be sure.
So just so you're aware, New London did declare their first drought stage, and I believe Norwich is either in their first drought stage or is asking for conservation.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. Hearing no other discussion, we'll do a vote. OPM is a yes. DOAG?
DOAG is a yes.
DPH?
Yes.
DESP?
DESP is a yes.
And DEEP?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So that concludes us going through all of the counties. As a recap, Fairfield, New Haven, Litchfield are no changes. Middlesex will be moving to a stage two. And Hartford, Tolland, Windham, and New London will move to a stage three. Okay. Now, the next piece is, because modifications were made, is to review the actions in our drought plan. And Eric, if you could call up the stage three ones. Thank you. Which are also in the agenda packet, so everyone has those. As I noted, the previous, you know, two press releases that have gone out indicating the stage two, we did pull the voluntary outdoor water use reduction and some other items, conservation items, and put into that press release asking people already to voluntarily do that, which were pulled out of the stage three. So part of looking at, as we get out this information of moving these counties, you know, one up to two and the others up to three, is the messaging and looking for some guidance and suggestions for either making this a little bit stricter, lack of better words, on here, because most of our stuff is all voluntary on a stage three. Obviously, you know, we're part of it sending to the municipal officials through our coordinators that they urge residents to curtail outdoor watering, so we can change some of the language in the press release saying, you know, we're asking them to curtail the outdoor watering rather than just water use reduction, even though that's some of, you know, you've kind of got both in the stage three. You know, the residential, commercial, industrial facilities to reduce demand. But looking at other items that we'd want to include in there as a stage three. So it's kind of hard. One of the thoughts was, do we kind of come up with a little chart like, well, under stage two, these are the things that were asked. Under stage three, these were the items were asked. Some of that's maybe a little difficult only because, as I mentioned, stage two, we kind of put out there with stage three recommendations. But happy to look at some suggestions. We are starting to draft up, you know, press release, the advisory that will go to the governor's office. We're not sure yet if the governor's office will want to announce these going to the stage three as a moderate drought stage, or if it will still be coming out of OPM that we'll address and let everyone know once we have that direction there. But staff for both OPM and the governor's office have been made aware that we were meeting today and that there could be potential changes. So they're already aware that things will be forthcoming.
So Martin, the second item is very significant here, and I would say that we should get that process started, because it is, you know, we are heading into a very serious situation, and this is the way that we need to communicate with our water companies. And get the key state agencies together. So I would say that I'm in favor of moving, at least, you know, getting that conversation started about that as a consideration.
Yep, and that will be part of the letter that we'll send out on behalf of this group to the governor, is to make sure that is, you know, highlighted in there. Thank you. Yeah.
Doug Hoskin from DEEP. Yeah, that just to make it clear, I think it doesn't mean that the governor has to. It just says the governor shall consider. And I think when we were making this new plan up, this was just sort of the way to put the governor's office on notice that higher stage levels, even the highest stage level, says governor is likely to convene. So it never really compels them to, of course, but this is just sort of the shot across the bow.
Well, I think the point that I'm making is that I think we need to send a signal to our water companies that this is very serious. And some people might say, we don't need this. This is not that big of a deal. This is a big deal. And the idea that we have to pay close attention and that we have to make sure the utilities are brought to the table, you know, not just with DPH, but with other agencies, and that everybody is taking this quite seriously, that sends a huge signal. Now, I realize it says consider. But just that consideration alone it sends a signal to the water utilities. We just got off of a webinar with the water utilities this afternoon, and some of them make a point in telling us, we're fine. We have 650 days of water left. You know, that is fine for that particular utility for now, but that it will be needed, probably, to sell water to others. So pulling these utilities in the stage three counties together, I think is important to do. And if the governor's willing to stand that up, or at least, you know, have the commissioners talk about what's necessary to get started, I think sooner rather than later is important.
Yeah, and Eric, can you scan down to the bottom of that page where we have water suppliers?
Sure thing.
Because that has some of the recommendations. I know it goes on to the next top of the next page as well, one item. So I don't know if you can. Yeah, that does it. You've got it all there, I think. So yeah, there is one. I just wanted to make note there. There are a couple of items specifically noted there for water suppliers, obviously, as well as the municipalities, as we've, you know, talked about with the other items, you know, especially with, you know, directing state agencies to conserve water, repair leaks at state facilities. All of that can be, you know, as Lori mentioned, that stuff can happen within a unified command call type thing for that, because you have all the agencies represented, everything. There's a lot of things that can happen in that sense. But I did want to just make note, too, that we do have some specified items there for the water suppliers as well on the list. Other thoughts? Other?
I'll just offer up again. This really kind of goes along the lines of what Doug Hoskins from DEEP was getting at. Just a reminder, a courtesy reminder, that the design of the drought plan, the way it was designed, and it's in the text itself, is that these actions, these listed actions, are a guide. They are to be used by the Interagency Drought Work Group and agencies and the governor's office as a guide to how to handle, what actions to take during what level of drought. And it may be appropriate to take certain actions or to direct entities to take certain actions. And at other times, depending on the exact circumstance, another action may not be necessary at the time. And I'm not sure how to sort of track that or make note of that. But just a reminder, although an overwhelming list, several of the items are already items that an agency would undertake anyway under existing law or regulation. Other items are recommendations for action, but we're not beholden to any one of these. So just another friendly reminder on that.
terrific. Anyone else have any other thoughts or concerns they want to share on this topic? What will happen is, you know, the same process as in the past. OPM will work with the governor's office, getting these recommendations to him, as well as out to the media on that. So we will continue that work and get that going as soon as we finish this meeting today.
I have another point to raise. Sure. Not to take all the airtime, just because we did this week start to hear about significant and concerning impacts with private wells. The number of issues with private wells has been going up significantly. We don't have good data on that. It's just reports that are coming in from wherever they may be, whether it's the media or town officials calling or residents posting on social media and so forth. But we did have an earlier discussion this week between DPH's drinking water section and OPM and Demis and one of the affected towns on what resources are available and what the state is doing. And so as we go deeper in and as we may have more issues down the line with private wells, that may be one area in particular that we want to focus on, just throwing that out there.
And Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
A very good point about private wells and the unknowns. There's probably many more that we're not aware of. And so, getting to the stage three, I'm certain in these counties that there are other towns that have concerns for private wells that we're not hearing from. So,
okay. Anything else on this topic before we move on?
I'm just wondering in stage three, is there any looking for any, can you move that up a little bit? So it's, what does it say about local health directors? The press releases, notifications. Okay. All right.
So I imagine that would be like a circular letter. Is that pretty much being described?
Yeah, that's one thing we could do. But there's certainly other ideas to reach out, especially to the local health directors in the stage three areas. So. Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay. Anything else on this topic? Okay. Moving on, then, item seven is our next meeting and schedule. We were looking at going to a monthly meeting. Originally, we were scheduled, you know, as was noted at the beginning, we were scheduled for next Thursday, actually, but we did move it up in light of some of the conditions for that. So looking at everyone's pleasure, do we wait and just schedule our normal meeting, you know, or a meeting for November? And then if we see changes that we call a meeting prior to that, or would you like to look at meeting in 2 weeks?
Well, Martin, I'll just speak up. I think that there's certainly a lot to be done here with reviewing these potential actions even further and sort of exploring some of these issues. and that doesn't need to be done by this group. That can be done by the staff level action team that's been established. I think that there's, at this point, if we're in stage three, there's certainly now an even higher need for agencies to commit staff resources to spending time to really go through the drought plan now and determine what the priorities should be and how to handle some of these things. So, I certainly can continue to be the coordinator on that, but I think regardless of when the IDW meets, that there's a need for that smaller team to dedicate the resources to meet more frequently now and really dig into this. That's just my thought.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So why don't we, hearing that, unless I hear objection, is our plan would be that we would meet our monthly meeting for November, unless, obviously, as I said, unless there's some major need that we see of drastic changes that trigger us to meet sooner than that. And we'll have the smaller group work on these items for us to move forward. Okay.
Sounds good, Doug Hoskins.
Okay.
So, Martin, question.
Sure, go ahead, Lori.
You know, we're part of that smaller team. So, who would make the decisions on, because some of these are, you know, big decisions, some of them not so big. Who makes the final call on if these things are happening or not?
Well, I think, you know, this is my first time going through this, so I can tell you that looking at everything, that it becomes, we've made recommendations, you know, to the governor's office on the items there, and then they've, you know, either had us go through and, you know, continue, you know, to send the press releases out following the plan. So I'm not sure how things were done in 2016 when we got to these levels. And Eric, I don't know if you have recollection of that, you know, for this.
Well, we didn't convene the Unified Command. We didn't do ESF 12. We didn't have municipal water coordinators. I don't think we did the fourth item down. I don't think we did the fifth. I mean, I think this is, a lot of this is new to us as well, even though we've been through it in 2016. But I think these are meaningful steps that should be considered. And just sort of wondering who will make these final. Obviously, there's high level decisions here to be made.
Yeah. So my recommendation then would be is that once a smaller group kind of goes through these, there's items that need a decision. We may have to call a special meeting of the, you know, the five agencies, the voting members, to just make, to finalize those recommendations.
And I would agree with that, but are we, you know, the very first item here, notify municipal water coordinators, I think that's important.
And that correct. And I think we've done that already through, you know, emergency management, sending out the regional coordinators, making their contacts with those that they have on there through the municipal leaders as well, to at least, you know, get the press releases out to them and everything. So we've started those steps already, you know, even with the stage two, that we've gotten those notifications out through that means.
Right. But now it's a stage three in certain counties. And, you know, the next step for them is to ensure their understanding of their required role and responsibilities. And some of them may question or have a need for further information. So, again, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of decisions. And we really haven't really worked this part of the plan before. You know, this is a new plan. And I just, there's a lot to do here.
Yeah.
And what worries me most is some of the utilities that may not be paying attention. That could be in the stage three areas. So that's a concern of mine.
Yeah.
So one, you know, I think we got to kind of look at this in steps. So obviously when this call is done, as usual, OPM will draft a template press release. We'll circulate it to the drought action group for comment and revision before it goes up the chain. Inside that press release, one of the first steps we have to figure out, and perhaps we should do that right now before we end the call, is for those counties that are now being elevated to stage three, what is going to be the additional ask for residents and businesses? Is there going to be an additional ask beyond what we did for stage two? And if so, what will it be? That's a kind of a big question that this group should get straight, because we'll want to get that press release out as soon as we can after the conclusion of today's meeting.
And I think from previously what we did is we kind of came up with a list and sent it out to that smaller group and then finalized it. You know, we sent out the stage two notice. So I would think the same kind of process, you know, and obviously, I mean, I know that doesn't include everybody that's on the call today, but it does represent all the agencies that are involved with this. And obviously anyone that has, you know, suggestions or, you know, comments and thoughts are definitely welcome to, you know, present them here or get them to us after the meeting.
So I would say a consideration for standing up at least ESF 12 to start talking to the water companies is important. Notification of the municipal coordinators of what stage three drought actually means and what their role would be. What are we counting on them to do? Definitely state-owned facilities should be shutting off any outdoor water use that's unnecessary and providing them guidance on what to do for state facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think definitely the fifth bullet down is really important about, you know, dam operators and impoundments and what to do there with stream flow is a very important item. So all of these things are really super important, and maybe, you know, can't all of it be, all of these cannot be in a press release. However, what do we think are important to put in a press release to tell the public that we are doing? Because, you know, if I saw this as a press release, I'd say, okay, what is the state doing about it? What are they actually? And I think it would be important to let the public know that we are working with these water systems directly in these areas. We are working directly with municipal coordinators. We are, you know, whatever else we decide, you know. So I think you can't say it all, you know, all these items, but I think maybe the top three things that we're working on that are very impactful are important to say to the public, you know, that all of us would agree to, and then obviously the governor would have to sign off on whatever we say. But I think, you know, they're all counting on us to come up with the most important items to tell the public. You know, as everyone's out there worried about COVID-19, now you have to worry about this, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think, Lori, absolutely right, is that we pick those items that are going to be, that the public needs to know. I think there are some items on here, you know, internally, you know, between agencies, everything else, that doesn't need to be in a press release out to the public. So I think, you know, definitely, you know, that recommendation is, you know, the way to go. Yeah, so why don't we get, you know, the smaller group get together, you know, shortly after, you know, within the next day or whatever else, you know, or Eric, however you want to set that up.
I'm going to suggest, because timing is getting to be more of the essence, I'm going to suggest that I will send an invite for either Friday or Monday. And although it's short notice, I would hope that each staff member that's been participating will make it a priority to attend. I just don't think we have the time to be dealing with doodle polls and asking for people's schedules. I'm going to try to shoot for tomorrow for that group.
Agreed, Eric.
Yeah.
Time is important here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go with that, and then we'll to continue moving all this forward. Okay. Any other items? If not, it's 3:40. We can take a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Terrific. And got a second. I will second, and then all in favor can just say aye, and we'll be
aye.
Set to go.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all very much for all of your help and participation in this, and in advance for the continued work we have over the next few days that are going to need to happen. Okay. Thank you all.
Thanks, Martin.